BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, the controversy is escalating across this nation on the issues of mandates, whether it be mask mandates or shot mandates. Corporations are increasingly placing mandates on their employees. School districts across the nation are making decisions whether or not to mandate shots or mandate masks for young children. Citizens are rising up across the nation, making their views known at school board meetings, city councils, state legislative bodies. Meanwhile, a third booster shot is being recommended by Dr. Fauci, and the promotion of vaccination passports taking hold on venues around the country. We'll be discussing this and much more in today's Crosstalk with Twyla Brays, the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. She's a registered nurse, a certified public health nurse, author of Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's a speaker on the daily Health Freedom Minute, heard on stations across the nation. Twyla, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thanks so much, Jim. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's kind of difficult to know where to begin because there is so much happening in such a short period of time, but perhaps the most shocking that is just hitting this nation right now is what's going on in Tennessee, this executive order number 83 issued by the governor there, Republican Governor Bill Lee, state of Tennessee, in regard to special powers that he is instituting here.
Right. So there are, in this executive order, we're still looking at it, but there are 21 different things that he is putting into place here. And I know that the one that is giving most people a great concern, because some of them are actually lessening some regulations, and maybe those regulations should be lessened forever, right?
Yep.
But number 18 says temporary quarantine and isolation facilities may be constructed. And so, you know, they have not done that. So we are 18 months. That's never been done, except for hospitalization facilities constructed, but never quarantine and isolation ones. And what I think is so interesting about this is all your listeners can go to, just Google COVID death rates. Just Google COVID death rates. And I'm just looking right now at what it says about Tennessee. And it just shows you sort of how ridiculous this all is. Yes. The number of cases and deaths are going up, but infinitesimally. So the last time that we had the same seven-day average of deaths as we do as of yesterday, the last time in Tennessee that that was the case was July 15th, 2020. So it's the same number of deaths as more than a year ago. And when you look at the cases, the cases are now the seven-day average of 3340. But what's a case, right? A case doesn't mean that anybody's dying. A case could just be you've lost your taste and smell. And the last time that we were at that level was about November of 2020. And so, you know, on an average of seven-day average. So one has to wonder, what on earth is the governor of Tennessee doing with this new executive order and building of new facilities? Everybody's been quarantined in their own home.
Yeah, isolation facilities, and that's the words from the governor himself.
Right? I don't understand it except to do fear-mongering to get everybody to get the COVID injection. I mean, I just feel like that's the entire way that the blue side, the Democrat side, the liberal side, the progressive Marxist side, that's what they're all doing, is whatever they can do to keep fomenting fear as they try to get the remaining 95 million people to take the injection. And you have probably noticed that there's not one whiff of information coming in the media, except occasionally it rises its head, but rarely, about any of the adverse events, any of the adverse reactions for taking it. And how many of your listeners have heard that there are now people with, you know, the entire COVID vaccine and they're getting COVID. Or in Israel, they're getting booster shots, and the people getting booster shots are getting COVID. So, you know, to what degree have your listeners ever heard this to show how this is not a vaccine? It's never been a vaccine. And yet they want everybody to take it. Why is that?
So, Twyla, how is this shot working? I mean, we are hearing that there are a number of people, and we were hearing the words rare. Breakthrough cases are rare, but increasingly we're hearing about those who've had the shot that their numbers are escalating, that are coming down with this Delta variant.
Yes, and so by the way, the Delta variant is considered more transmissible and less virulent. And you can see that just by looking at what I said here at COVID death rate. So you can just look at that. And you can see that the death rate is only going up a little compared to the cases. And so, anyway, so the so-called breakthrough cases should not be called breakthrough cases, because it was never about preventing infection. And Dr. Anthony Fauci said this on July 20th to the U.S. Senate. One of the senators asked him, well, what about all these breakthrough cases? And I'm not quoting him now, but this is very close. He said, well, when it comes to the efficacy of the vaccines, it was about preventing clinically apparent disease, not preventing infection. And by clinically apparent disease, what he meant was symptoms. So it's never been presumed that you would not get COVID by taking this injection. It has always been presumed that when you get COVID, your symptoms will be less. But that has not been how this was ever sold to the public. And when the public thinks vaccine, they think, great, I am protected from COVID. I will not get infected. But these so-called vaccines, which aren't, were never about keeping you from getting COVID.
Dr. Fauci just this past Sunday said he's in favor of the acceleration of giving COVID booster shots to the country's vulnerable population. Your thoughts on that? I mean, at one time he said, no, I don't believe booster shots are going to be necessary. Now he's advocating for them.
Yes. Well, the FDA has never even called these shots safe and effective, never. And they're the only ones who can say whether they are safe and effective. And I think that Dr. Fauci is fear-mongering, and he's doing whatever he can to make the public think that there's great urgency. So if you haven't even got the initial injection, whether that's one shot or two, you know, the idea that we're now pushing the booster shots, you know, is just putting more pressure on people to take this injection, despite the harm that could happen to them.
Mm-hmm. But also we recognize there are people who are indeed dying of COVID, correct?
Yes, and in Massachusetts. I forgot to tack that on with the whole breakthrough. So it should never be a breakthrough infection, because infections were always expected. So calling it a breakthrough is being very deceptive. But if we were talking about what was reported by, I think it was NBC, about Massachusetts, the title said something like this: that there were breakthrough infections of more than 5,100 people, and at least 80 have died of COVID. So, this is why the CDC is now coming out and saying, well, now we have to re-mask, we have to, you know, but the mask never kept anybody. All you have to do is look at the statistics. They never kept anybody from getting the virus, and Fauci himself, in his email in February 2020, when Obama's Secretary of Health and Human Services, former, because, you know, he wasn't in office at that time, but Sylvia Burwell contacted Fauci, sent him an email, and said, I'm going to take a trip on a plane. Should I wear a mask? And Fauci said, no. The virus is too small. It will just go right through the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what he said, and that's what he knew, and that's still the case. But this is why the whole thing about remasking is, because the fallacy of the injection protecting you from COVID means that they have to try and do something else to say that they're protecting people from COVID, where none of this is going to. You can't actually control a virus. You can't actually do it, and we don't know what kind of harm we are doing by giving this spike protein creating technology to people and having their bodies create the spike protein, which is the damaging part of COVID, you know, we don't even know what that's doing. And there are some who are worried that this will be, that what's happening here with all these people getting COVID after the injection is that it could be antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement, which has been found in many a study that has tried to create a coronavirus vaccine. And what that means is you get the vaccine, and then when you are exposed to the real thing, the real deal, COVID, then the body actually works against you and makes your illness worse when you are exposed to COVID because you've had the vaccine or the injection.
Twyla, this, and now on Wednesday, we have Dr. Fauci, you know, discussing about putting aside your individual freedom. Mandates should be done. I'd like you to hear the audio clip. This is from MSNBC this past Sunday.
Dr. Fauci, do you agree with Randy Weingarten, the head of the largest teachers union in the country, who came out yesterday and said, yes, teachers should be vaccinated inside schools? Do you think they should be mandated to be vaccinated?
Yeah, I'm going to upset some people on this, but I think we should. I mean, we are in a critical situation now. We've had 615,000 plus deaths, and we are in a major surge now as we're going into the fall, into the school season. This is very serious business. You would wish that people would see why it's so important to get vaccinated. But you're not going to get mandates centrally from the federal government. But when you're talking about local mandates, mandates for schools, for teachers, for universities, for colleges, I'm sorry. I mean, I know people must like to have their individual freedom and not be told to do something, but I think we're in such a serious situation now that under certain circumstances, mandates should be done.
Yeah, you may like your freedom, but mandates should be done, Twyla.
I just wrote notes because I want to say something about different things that he said. So the first one is freedom, you know, in certain circumstances. I think what your listeners and the American public need to understand is what's happening here has nothing to do with COVID. COVID, the recovery rate is in the 99.9%, except for people who have multiple comorbidities, which means other medical conditions, and except for people who are over the age of 65 or 70. Those are the ones that are more like in the 94, 95, 96% recovery. And so we've got something that most people actually recover from. And here Dr. Fauci is talking about this is, you know, such a critical time. But what he's really talking about here is a reset. He is trying, the government is trying, the officials are trying to reset the relationship between the government and the people. This is a power grab. It is to create a new standard of power over the people whenever public safety happens. And they are searching for 100% vaccination or injection, which is what I like to call it, in order to set a precedent here that they will follow into the future. And every time they come to you to tell you you have to take something into your body, you'll be required to do so. We must not go there.
Okay, we're going to pick up with more on this quote after the break. Twyla Braze is with us here today, a registered nurse, a certified public health nurse, and president, co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. This is Crosstalk. Back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many different races of men are there?
Actually, Chris, the Bible never uses the term race, except when it talks about the human race. Biblically, we all go back to Noah and we all go back to Adam. We're all descended from them and related to all the people of the earth. And you know, this is exactly what genetic studies of the different ethnic groups is showing. Every ethnic group is so genetically similar to the others that it's like we're all from the same family, almost clones. Chris, notice how well this evidence lines up with what the Bible has to say. We don't use scientific evidence to prove the Bible, but we can, by using the evidence, show just how right that Bible is. Aren't you glad we can go back to Genesis and get it right?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
the COVID update here today on Crosstalk with Twyla Brace from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. We're talking shots. We're talking masks. We're talking about the outbreak that's taking place, even the Delta variant running rampant right now. Twyla, we were commenting here before that break about that quote from Dr. Fauci as he spoke on MSNBC this past Sunday, saying, I know some of you like your freedom here, but we have to push aside that individual freedom and the mandate should be done. Your further thoughts.
Right. So just a few things from what he said. He mentioned about 615 deaths. Well, to be clear.
15,000 deaths. Sorry.
1,000 deaths. Yes. To be clear, Santa Clara County in California has already reduced their deaths by 22%. And they said they think the CDC is going to require that of every other county. So how many deaths do we really have? And how many are from COVID and how many are with COVID? I'm not even sure that 22% is enough of a reduction. Okay, so that's one thing. So he used the number, but it's not as scary as he says. And the last thing is, don't we wonder, how is it that we are having a surge in the summer when vitamin D is at its highest level? You know, what is going on here? And I think that's part of the concern with, as I said, you know, the antibody-dependent enhancement. Is it because people are getting vaccinated that they're actually getting COVID? You know, we don't know. Time will tell, but, you know, consider it. He didn't even mention that. You know, why? Why we never have surges in the summer? So it's very strange.
Yeah, and while this is going on, yet we're going full force, Twyla, as you know. And we just had the U.S. Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, talk about we're going to plan enforcing this shot on all our military members. He's talking by mid-September. We're just a month away from that. He said this is necessary to He said it's necessary to keep the forces healthy and ready.
Well, there's also the forces that are going to be in trouble as a result of that. I mean, just look at the myocarditis that is happening in young men. And so most of the military, lots of the military, are young men. Why would he expose the military when all these young men have 99.9 whatever percent chance of recovering from COVID? Why would he expose them to the possibility of a condition that might live with them for the rest of their life? Myocarditis, inflammation of the heart. You know, and the federal employees, too, that's 10 million that Biden has said either get vaccinated or we're going to make your life hard. So it's not an actual mandate, but it's a make your life hard. And that is what they want to do to everyone, make it hard not to get the injection.
And part of that, too, then brings us to these vaccine passports. They're so termed. I mean, we see a Norwegian cruise lines demanding proof of the vax. We see in some countries police are actually approaching. I saw the video. They're actually approaching people eating in the restaurant that they have to get out their smartphones and show them the QR code or show them their health status, you know, that they've received the shot. We know what's happening in New York City restaurants and venues, and this is increasing across the country. Twyla, it's really like a wildfire as it relates to the vaccine passports or proof of vax.
Yes, and so we're moving towards where the people who want this great reset, we're moving in their direction, and those of us who absolutely refuse and want a country called America left behind left standing, we have to stand up. You know, in Europe, they are protesting in the hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. In companies around America, as people are starting to stand up, I've just heard of a healthcare facility who backed it down when all of their emergency room physicians said, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to leave. And so suddenly they were like, oh, okay, well, now we're going to just take away the mandate. Really? So you have to stand up. And I will say that by the end of this week, we are going to have a page. It's going to be called covidlegal.org, covidlegal.org, and we will have all these legal resources on it. What I am saying now is that, you know, all under coercion, there are four choices here: vaccination, resignation, termination. Oh, really? Could I forget the last one? Oh, my goodness. I will come to it. So we can just move on, but I've just forgotten it. I don't know why it just escaped my brain.
Okay.
Oh, litigation. Of course, litigation.
Okay.
Right? Vaccination, resignation, termination, or litigation. And that is where we're at. And that's why we're COVIDlegal.org. We will have all the places where people are giving notes that you can take to your employer. You must stand up. You must actually ask them questions like, have you considered how your insurance is going to cover me if I get an adverse reaction? Or, you know, here are the thing, I'm going to sue you. If you do this, I'm going to sue you. I'm already looking at lawsuits. Or where's your medical exemption page? Or where's your religious exemption? And all sorts of people can have medical exemptions if they just think about it. Because all you have to do is go to the openvaers.com page, V-A-E-R-S, openvaers.com, and just bring the picture of all those red boxes, those red COVID boxes, in yep. showing all of the things that are happening to people and say, I'm not going to experience this. I don't want to have the infertility. I don't want to have the cardiomyopathy. I don't want to take these risks. You can't do this to me.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at that screen right now, Twilight. One of the problems is they've not updated this until past July 30th at this point.
They wait. So what day is it today? The 10th? So they will probably be updating
11th.
It shortly.
Mm-hmm. That's the 11th right now. And it is such that normally this was done pretty timely every week. But as I look at it right now, through July 30th, they report 12,366 deaths, 46,036 hospitalizations, 68,040 urgent care, 92,527 office visits, 4,759 anaphylaxis, 4,044 Bell's palsy, 1,381 miscarriages, 5,236 heart attacks, 3,728 myocarditis and pericarditis. There's 14,251 permanently disabled, and it goes on. There's another whole line there as well, but shingles, severe allergic reaction, life-threatening situations. It's amazing to see what's going on, but the media is not telling about this, right?
No, they're not, because it's a complete blackout, because everybody that is on the other side wants to make sure everybody gets vaccinated, and they don't want to have anything in the way. Now, you'll notice at the top of that page, there's 545,337 reports.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of those reports are pure administration errors, like, you know, I gave the wrong dose too young of a client, or, you know, that sort of a thing. But there are 615,000 deaths, and we're almost at 600,000 adverse reactions that have been reported. And so, you know, what is happening here?
Yeah, and I find, right? And it's also interesting, I just heard testimony by Dr. Zelenko, who treated President Trump, who treated the president of Brazil. He treated Rudy Giuliani. I think he said 6,000 COVID patients. And he said in testimony before the head of health ministry in Israel and some legislative members there that he has colleagues who have tried submitting reports to VAERS that they're not accepting their information. They will hit send or try to do it, and the system is not accepting some of the adverse reactions are putting in. Further, he testified to them that some of the information that has been submitted and the reports created, all of a sudden, Twyla, they're gone. Something's happened to them. They're no longer on the site, no longer be reported.
Yes, and so that's one thing different about OpenVAERS. So OpenVAERS goes in and scrapes out all the data because it's very difficult to see it on the regular VAERS site, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting site. And so some of the numbers, they're like, you know, it's because the CDC is taking some of those reports out. We don't know why they're taking those reports out. They have their own system called vSafe, which nobody can see. And the interesting thing is that before we put up our billboard, we redid our billboard, and we had a number for it. And then right before it was going to be printed, I looked on the selected adverse events page from the CDC, which is where they update their death numbers.
Yes.
And it was 12,313. And we had something like 6,200. I'm like, what? What happened here? And they reverted back to the 6,200 about 48 hours later with no explanation. It was like, where did that number, 12,313, come from? And why did it get on their site? So I feel like there is another number. There is another number where we don't see it, and it's probably in the V-safe system that we can't see.
Mm-hmm. Twyla Bray's with us here today. So, Twyla, what? No doubt your offices are hearing from people saying, hey, my business said I must get this shot,
yeah.
or their college or university that I've been attending, and I'm about ready to graduate, and they're saying I have to have this. I'm no doubt we're going to have an escalation of military members asking that same thing. What are you telling them?
Yep. So this we are hearing, and we're hearing from lots of people, both at their in industry, you know, corporations, jobs, education, the military. We're hearing from all of them. And as I said, you know, we're going to get to the point where it's going to have to be litigation if they cannot stand up and resist significantly. That's why we're creating the COVIDlegal.org page, because we need to give them resources on our RealRisk.org page, which is with our billboard, and it's Real, RISKS.org. We already have some information on there, including a one-pager that they can use and give to their employer and say, this is why I have a right to refuse. So that's one thing. There's another resource from America's Frontline Doctors, but it's not enough. And so we're creating this COVID legal page. It won't be up probably until Friday, COVIDlegal.org. And that will have all the places that you can go to get forms to take. And we'll have some instructions for the best things to do to say no. And then we'll have all these links to legal resources.
Stunning news coming out. Oh, and again, folks, that is this Friday. They plan to have that up, COVIDlegal.org. Twyla, stunning news came out just today. Three major airlines, Southwest, American, and Delta, have decided against required shots for their employees. Last week, United Airlines was the first airline to mandate the shot. These three are now saying they encourage it, but no mandate at this point. And we know that there's a lot of back and forth happening with different corporations at this time, but rather stunning that three airlines are saying, no, we're not going to mandate this.
Well, this will mean at least two things. One, those three airlines are going to get the cream of the crop, the most individual thinking people, well, not the cream of the crop, but the most individual, we don't want to be coerced people in the other airline. So people are going to leave that airline, and they're going to come to the other airline. So already those three airlines have said, we'll take you. We'll take you if your other airline is forcing you to do something, you know, forcing you to put something in your body that you don't want. The other thing that means is that those are the airlines where they're not going to force the people, the passengers, to have vaccination. And so they're also the ones that are going to get all the business. This other airline is going to be off on its own, and my guess is it will retract its decision.
Twyla Bray's with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to take a break and hit one more issue before we go to phone lines, and it's the issue of mask mandates. There was actually a school board member, and we're going to play the clip for you from Norman, Oklahoma, in which they were talking about claiming that students who don't wear masks to schools could be committing murder by not wearing those masks. You're going to hear those words coming up in just a moment. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Thank you.
Our guest today is a certified public health nurse, a registered nurse, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, Twyla Braze. We haven't mentioned your main site, Twyla, but that's cchfreedom.org, correct?
That is correct. And at the top of it, they can sign up for our, now it's going to be every other week. We just went to every other week notices or emails.
Okay. So you'll find a little box here to sign up for their email updates and so forth, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org, and shortly covidlegal.org. So let's get to Norman, Oklahoma. Their school board just met. One of the school board members claimed that students could commit murder by not wearing masks. I want you to hear the clip, and Twyla, we'll get your response. This is from Norman, Oklahoma.
Just goes all over me. I would like to find a way to stand up as a district and get our surrounding superintendents to stand up with us and protect our little kids. It's insane to send 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 all the way up through 11-year-olds that don't have a choice about vaccine to sit in a classroom where people can spread a deadly disease and not even know they're sick and not even know that in 3 days they're going to be sick, but they're spreading it today because they... That's the way it works, this disease. Just makes me furious that we're in this position. If I were a parent of a young child, I don't know what I would do. But I don't think we should put our parents in that position. And if there's any way between now and the beginning of school that we can get this changed, I hope we can. Because it's just not okay for kids to commit murder by coming to school without a mask. And when it comes down to it, it's possible. They will cause a death of another child because they come to school without a mask. That's not okay. I don't know what we can do about it, but I hope it's something. We've got to think hard and we've got to think fast. Thanks.
Okay, so this was Norman, Oklahoma Public School Board Member Linda Sexton. We understand there the governor of Oklahoma has prohibited school districts from requiring masks, but Twyla, your response to her comment?
My first thing it has to do with the last thing that she said is, she said we have to think fast, and I would say we have to think. Think. Because seasonal flu, which happens every year, kills more children. I mean, this is a deadly disease for children, seasonal flu. And yet, what have we done? We have not done this. We have never done this. And the other thing that I would say is, she is not remembering 99.9, you know, for children, it's probably 99.999 or whatever, that they survive. Lots of them don't even know that they ever have it. These children are not also very good carriers of COVID-19. So she is living in fear that she does not need to live in. And then the other thing that I say is swine flu, 2009, I believe, when the swine flu pandemic happened. It was most rampant and sickly for children. But they never, for the first month or so, maybe for the first 6 or 8 weeks, they never called for the shutdown of schools, ever. And then sometime into it, they recommended that it could happen. And there was something only like maybe 700 schools across the entire country that shut down for maybe a week, right? And so they didn't do it. There were no masks. There never were masks. And so it's like the CDC is giving people a new education that people are buying, and they shouldn't be buying this as though it was truth. They're forgetting about the history. They're forgetting about how this illness is not an illness of children. Children just go through unscathed unless they have comorbidities. Very, very few children have even died.
They're saying, though, with the Delta variant, that more children are entering the hospital at this time. A matter of fact, I found it interesting because reporters were making that claim about a Kansas City hospital, and the Kansas City hospital put, wait a minute, no, we have children in here that's dealing with some other respiratory illness that was going around or spreading around, but not COVID. But
right.
What do we know what's happening with children?
With RSV. So RSV is, you know, this respiratory syncytial virus, which children do get, and it's very difficult for children. And for 50 years, they have tried to figure out a vaccine for children, but this is where in the late 1960s they did try a vaccine, and 80% of the children were hospitalized because of the vaccine, and two of them died. So this is a serious condition, and that's what lots of the hospitals are saying, that the children that are in there, lots of them are in there with RSV.
Twyla Bray's with us today. Let's open our lines here, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829 with your questions for Twyla Bray's here today. And Twyla, while we're waiting for the first calls to come in, I want to talk further about this mask mandate issue. President Biden right now said his administration is examining whether he can order universal masking in public schools to override these Republican governors. He said this, he's not believing he has the power thus far, but he said, we're checking that.
He doesn't have the power. Now, the only way he'd get the power is if all the states caved. But, you know, people like Governor DeSantis in Florida, Governor Abbott in Texas, and I can't remember what the governor's name of Iowa is, Kim Reynolds, maybe. Anyway, they would know that they have 10th Amendment state rights, and they don't have to follow anything that the federal government is saying. Now, the federal government might try and say, well, you don't get any school funding from us if you don't. And so then we will start a completely different battle against the federal government if the federal government tried to use federal funding strings to force all the schools to require vaccinations and masks.
So what's interesting, just remember, folks, not long ago he said he did not have the power to stop these, you know, evictions from taking place now across the country. And what did he do? Issued a presidential order, an executive order saying, no, put a moratorium on evictions here up until said date. And the court had already, made their decision on this, and yet he flew in the face of that decision. And so when he says here, Twyla, as well, that I don't believe I have the power thus far, and those words were very interesting, thus far, but we're checking on that, made me think that he's got the door open. I may not have the power, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Right. So this is a government in anarchy, or, you know, it's like, we will do what we want to do, and to the degree that we can force anybody to do what we want them to do, we will do it. And it will take the strong governors that say, yeah, no, we are not following you. We're not doing what you have to say. Now, I know that the cruise ship problem, you know, that federal court ruled against Ron DeSantis being able to stop the cruise ships in Florida. And I don't know what the next step is, because I would believe that Governor DeSantis is preparing an appeal.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll know sooner or later.
Yes. And what's amazing, too, and I can't think of the name right now, but there's a cruise ship that demanded everybody either have the vax or proof of non-symptomatic, whatever it may be. But they had a COVID outbreak aboard the ship.
Yes, so, I can't remember the name of it either, but that's true. Because also, that's why you can see that this is not a vaccine. This is, as Fauci said, this is only about preventing symptoms. It's not about actually preventing COVID-19.
Let's go to Ann in Sherwood, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I just have a quick question, and I'll get off the line so as to free it up for someone else. I have a question that's been plaguing me for a long time now. Since all these government officials do what they please these days, how do we know that they've actually taken this vaccine, like Fauci or the other government officials that are singing the praises of this vaccine? How do we actually know that they've taken the vaccine? And thank you. I'll listen for the answer.
Thank you.
So I don't believe that we will know. There's lots of people who suspect, you know, that they haven't, and, you know, we have no idea. The only thing that I'll say about that is, it was very interesting when the head of NIH, Francis Collins, got his injection on public television, and anybody can look it up and watch that. He was one nervous-looking guy. He had a hard time speaking, whereas the others just went through and gave their reasons for getting the injection, right? He had a hard time speaking. He looked pale. He looked all sorts of things. I think he didn't want to take it.
Zach is calling next. Zach, you're on the air.
Hi, I just had a comment I wanted to make, and yeah, I'm just disappointed that the Republican Party hasn't stood up to this tyranny as much as they should, or even just the chaos altogether. They haven't stood up. They haven't stood up to abolish abortion, not as much as I believe they should. or even, you know, all the COVID stuff as well. You know, Republicans in our reddest states, such as Mike Pence or, you know, John Thune of South Dakota or Ben Sasse of Nebraska or Mitt Romney of Utah. You know, it'd be nice to see more out of them.
Yeah, thank you, Zach, for that. And I'll have Twyla comment, but I don't want to divert our conversation today from this, but just keep in mind, we just had passed this so-called infrastructure bill, thanks to some 18 breaking ranks with, or 19 with the Republican Party to join the Democrats in this effort. And now that's given way for this $3.6 trillion budget bill to go through as well on that 50+1 vote. So, Twyla, any response here for Zach?
I just say that, unfortunately, I think there are a lot of people in both parties, when they get there, it's no longer about representing their constituents. And it's very unfortunate, but we can see it. And, of course, that's where the RINO term came from. And so I think they're many of them are there only for themselves. And as long as they can do just enough to stay, you know, elected, that's what they'll do. And otherwise, they'll go along with the party. So I'll just leave it at that.
Great. Thank you, Zach. Dave is next. Dave, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question. For those of us who've already taken the vaccine, I took Moderna vaccine earlier on. Does the body ever remediate itself? Do we ever throw this off to where does the body ever recover from having taken the shot?
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
That's a great question, and I think that we don't know. And at the FDA, you know, others say, you know, we have no idea what the long-term effects are because they have never been studied. Some people say that you'd need at least 5 years. Others say 12 years for a vaccine to actually be approved. And so what I will say is there was a study in May that looked at 13 healthcare workers in the Brigham Young Women's Hospital, and they found the spike protein circulating, and half of the spike protein, which is there's an S1 and an S2 protein within the spike protein, and they found both S1 and the spike protein circulating in some of these people's bodies for up to 54 days, and after that it was gone. And so we have yet to find out the answer to your question.
Hmm. Thank you, Dave. Mark is next in Monroe.
Yeah, my comment is I think Americans need to take the abjection in place of the injection. That's about all I can say to combat this diabolical ploy to undermine America's freedom so that it would comply to the globalist endgame.
Thank you, Mark. Jackie in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes. I've been experienced, you know, with antibiotics. And to me, I'm old enough to know that penicillin was the A number one antibiotic. But now it was about 20 years ago that I needed some antibiotics, and the doctor didn't recommend it. Penicillin, he recommended another antibiotic, which what the instructions was to stay out of the sunlight during taking of this antibiotics. Now,
what's your question with our topic today, Jackie?
Is a lot of the cases with this COVID, have they been taking that certain antibiotic where they have to stay out of the sun?
Okay, we'll have Twyla address that after the break. Thank you for the call. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. I'm giving you this commentary today from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at the Cyber Symposium that is being held to see about what went on with our 2020 election. Elections are one of the most important things that we do in America. Many people died to maintain our freedoms to vote and to have a representative form of government, a constitutional republic. That means we give our authority to an elected official to represent us. They hold our authority as the people in trust to do the will of the people as bound by the United States Constitution and particularly our constitutional republic that our framers said was based on the law of the divine. If we get away from free and fair elections, you have no free society. Where you have freedom of religion, you have freedom of economics, and you have freedom of speech. Take any of those away, and you live in a totalitarian state. Freedom of our election is at the core of a constitutional republic.
is Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Braes is with us today, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Their website, cchfreedom.org. cchfreedom.org. And within a few days, they will have their website active, covidlegal.org. covidlegal.org. So, Twyla, before the break, a caller was asking about taking these antibiotics or some that you would not be able to be in sunlight, etc. I don't know if you've got any kind of response to his inquiry in that. I know there's been a big push for vitamin D on the part of some physicians.
Yeah, so vitamin D is good. Everybody should be taking vitamin D. I think Fauci himself takes 6,000 or 9,000 units a day. Of vitamin D, and so that's a very good thing to take. The only thing I would say is there's a variety of antibiotics once you get COVID-19, but one of the most important ones is ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, which stop the replication phase. And if you can stop the replication phase, you'll never get to the inflammation or the clotting phase. And so the unfortunate thing in this country is what kind of ban there is on the use of this. Often doctors don't even want to talk about it. But there's also a blackout and the fact that there is actually medication that can treat and often cure COVID so that you don't have anything to worry about. You'll never, ever reach a hospital. And nobody talks about that. It's as though the injection is the only thing that will save you from COVID-19. And, of course, we now know it isn't.
Yeah, they're not having that problem in Sweden, though, are they?
No, they aren't having that problem in Sweden. And as a matter of fact, Indonesia just recently ordered 14 million doses of ivermectin for their country, for their people.
Wow.
But it's not happening here in Minnesota. Minnesota, that's where I live, in the United States.
Well, you mentioned Minnesota. Bob is calling from Cambridge, Minnesota. Bob, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make two interesting points. The company I work for currently has 40 people out with COVID, and 35 of them have the vaccination. And also, I wanted to make a point. There's a person I work with. Their spouse has COVID, but they both got the shot. She's allowed to come back to work wearing a mask instead of being out for 14 days. I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. Twyla.
Well, that is very interesting. And so what you do see is there's just a lot of variety. You know, people are doing, companies are doing, governments are doing, you know, whatever they want to, and they're it's like hypocrisy and double standards of things that you hear are supposed to happen than what actually does happen.
But he said 35 of the 40 people that are out COVID had the fully vaccinated.
Right. So they would be the so-called breakthrough infections, which really aren't. They're just getting COVID like it was expected that they would. It's just that the injection is supposedly supposed to reduce their symptoms. But again, as I said, in Massachusetts, 80 of those people have died. Those are not reduced symptoms.
Fred is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if you were aware of Liberty Council, LC.org, has an article in the COVID section about nanoparticles affecting the health and DNA, as well as geoengineeringwatch.com or org has an article about nanoparticles affecting DNA and health. Have you heard of that or looked into that at all?
So I know about the nanoparticles idea. I know that Liberty Council is working to protect people from having vaccination mandates imposed on them. And so haven't done as much about nanoparticles as you would probably like to answer this question, but I do know that that issue is out there.
Thank you so much, Fred. And, Matt Staver's been with us previous on the program as well. Jim in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much for this program. I was just feverishly trying to take notes as your guest was speaking. I missed the term antibody something enhancement. Can you expound what that is? And there's another question I have as well.
Antibody.
Dependent enhancement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what was that again?
That is where once you've got the vaccine or the injection, you are more susceptible to that which you have been supposedly protected from, so that once you actually run into the live virus, your body reacts worse than it would have if you had not had the injection.
Okay. I'm back and forth with my son right now and his wife-to-be. She's a CNA at a hospital, and they both got their shots against our wishes, but he had COVID before he got his shot. But now I just talked to him today, and he said there's a five-year-old in the hospital on a respirator. And you had mentioned something, RSV. I was wondering what that was again.
Okay, thank you.
Respiratory syncytial virus. And so that could be why the child is there. And I just want to say, because the last two callers have been from Wisconsin, there are billboards. Our billboards are going up in Wisconsin in about a week. And they say, don't be bullied, make an informed choice. Some of them will say realrisk.org, RISKS.org, and some of them will just have our URL, CCHfreedom.org. But you should see them popping up in Wisconsin, because some people in Wisconsin have asked to put them up, have funded them, and we've sent our art to those billboard companies.
Great. Thank you. Let's go to Marquette, Michigan. Denise, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it with my own eyes, but two of my vaccinated friends have magnets, refrigerator magnets, that now stick to their forehead and their chest. Could you talk about that? I'm hearing other people say the same thing, and I wouldn't have believed it, but I saw it.
Okay, and Twyla, we're 60 seconds till the end of the program here.
We have not spent any time on this issue because, from our perspective, this is more than anything about freedom, and we are letting people know, you know, what some of the ramifications are about getting the injection, but we have not spent time on that issue or that claim.
Okay. And Brad, time for quick comments. We're almost out of time here.
Hey, Brother Jim. We keep hearing nothing but safe and effective from the propagandists. Hmm. Then they turn around and tell us we're going to need boosters. Hmm. That doesn't go together. And why is only 1% of the deaths being reported? As for states' rights, the states don't need the courts in order to justify their claim on the 10th Amendment. Yeah. They already have 10th Amendment rights.
Thank you, Brad. I'm going to have to run. Twyla, a final comment.
Well, I just think everybody needs to be informed and inform everybody else, and we hope to have all these resources. I mean, not we hope. We have all these resources available for you to use at RealRisk, RISKS.org, and then soon at COVID Legal.
Okay, and for additional follow-up information, et cetera, your website as well at cchfreedom.org.
That's correct.
Great.
And go ahead.
Twyla, thank you so much for being with us here today for this COVID update, shots, mandates, mask mandates, et cetera, and appreciate the information.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, thanks so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.